You're listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions, and student voices.
Tamara's going to talk to us now about Facebook.
Yeah, MPs have said that Facebook is in need of far stricter regulation with tough and urgent action necessary to end the spread of disinformation on its platform. The Committee for the Digital Culture, Media and Sports have found that Mark Zuckerberg has failed to show leadership or personal responsibility over fake news, and which leads to Facebook needing meaningful regulation. The report has called for a compulsory code of ethics for tech companies, the regulator to be given powers to launch legal action if companies breach the code, the government to reform current electoral laws and rules on overseas involvement in UK elections, social media companies to be forced to take down known sources of harmful content, and tech companies operating in the UK to be taxed to help fund the work for the Information Commissioner's Office and any new regulator set up to oversee them. In response to this, Facebook have said that they share the committee's concerns about false news and election integrity and are pleased to have made significant contribution to their investigation over the past 18 months, answering more than 700 questions and with four of their most senior executives giving evidence. So I just wanted to ask the panel if they think this is enough to sort of make Facebook sort of not pay for what they did, but pay for what they did, and if there's any regulation, if this regulation will actually prevent fake news and the spread of misinformation, and also prevent things such as another Cambridge Analytica scandal.
I think it's a start in many ways, but misinformation has spread throughout kind of all time, and it's kind of social networks and kind of social networks that aren't online. But yeah, I think it's a start.
They'll find another way. I agree with Tom. I think it's a good start. I think we talked about this last week, the kind of idea that not just Facebook, but largely the internet runs along unchecked. I think it's a good start. I'd like to see people held a bit more accountable for what they're saying.
Well, I think that's a different debate. It's the debate we had last week. It's not legislating people's kind of speech. This is just purely.
I think regulating Facebook is a good thing.
Yeah, I think I was just reading about the committee, and it said that they didn't actually. The inquiry didn't actually look into fake news. It was more about data, which is interesting because I think obviously there's two separate debates on how these tech firms use our data, but also then how we can be manipulated through fake news. I find it very interesting thinking about how these platforms developed in the first place, that they were the result of, tech-savvy kids in America or wherever, who were trying to make, their goal wasn't this evil manipulation of people through their data and through fake news. It was just to develop platforms that responded to individuals. So I find it interesting how it's now become, how the debate has turned, if that makes sense. I always find it difficult to believe that they're doing it willingly to be for evil purposes, but I suppose it's just, I don't know.
Basically, the way it works, I think, is that Facebook benefits when you spend more time and do more clicks because they get more ad revenue and more engagement and everything, so they can get more investment. The very same tricks that they get you to stay on the platform longer is the very same trips which kind of promote all the problems of Facebook. So they give you content which you will like. So if you're a left-wing person and you've got right-wing friends, they will never show you your right-wing friends' opinions because they want you to engage. And if you see something you don't like, you're more likely to close the app. Or they'll show you stuff which will enrage you and give you kind of a strong emotive reaction, which will be kind of the fake news or news which is meant purely to kind of agitate you, which is more the news which Russia actually did with the elections, that what they tried to do is enrage people and create a kind of division, which is kind of leads on from what I was saying with the first story, the creation of division. So it's difficult really to get Facebook to stop, because that's what their algorithm does,
built on,
to make you stay on the platform longer.
Yeah, it says also that like the MPs have said that they believe that the current electoral regulations were out of date for the internet age. But with an age where the tech companies are obviously going to be a lot more tech savvy than the MPs, how can we actually fix this without having the parliament filled with tech savvy people who understand everything?
Well, you'd hope we've got civil servants who can do the job, is basically the short answer to that question.
Yeah, I suppose that leads to a question of to what extent is the responsibility on the individual, on the consumer? Should we be pressing for more reform? Should we be refusing to use these platforms until we see changes? And then to what extent is it possible to be kind of a modern citizen and not use these social media platforms? Like for me, I know I don't have Instagram on my phone. I don't have like Snapchat, but I use Facebook as like an integral part of my like university experience for like, you know, accessing URN. So yeah, I don't know. I find that quite interesting. Like to what extent is the onus on us?
Yeah, because it feels like these sort of internet companies have sort of become like another parliament or another legislature where they are accountable to us, but then obviously because it's not, the dynamic isn't exactly like that, we, like a lot of people won't hold them to account, or they won't make them real, like prevent them from using their data, and people just put anything online. Like you said, like university life is basically based around Facebook. I found, like, if you want to find out anything about society, you have to go on Facebook to find out.
Completely.
Have we accepted the risk then as a society? Have we gone, well, we know Facebook are going to be like that, so we accept that risk when we sign, tick the dotted box, so to speak?
I think broadly you do. There are a few companies which do kind of respect your privacy, and interesting, Apple is actually one of them. Android will do some weird stuff with your data, and you know, Huawei. There's not a chance that the Chinese government doesn't have a backdoor into every single thing you do with those phones. Mm. But they're a bit cheaper than the iPhones. But so I think that's so you're kind of signing away your privacy for an extra
$100.
Yeah.
Well, I think last week we talked about Alexa and stuff like that, always listening. Do you know what I mean? It's like
your phone does that. Alexa, you know, isn't anything new.
I think I find it interesting because it to me, I start thinking about, you know, to what extent is modern life just observed life? Like, to what extent is it just performative? And especially when we, you know, we're all on these social medias, we're all posting ourselves or versions of ourselves, but then like we perform to each other every day. I suppose it's elements of like we choose what to perform, whereas the fear is that they find out things that we keep private. But
well,
then
yeah, but like that's been the same throughout history. Mm. You wouldn't want everyone knowing all of your business all the time, which is when I hear people going, oh, I've got nothing to hide, so the government can look through everything I own at all times, like online. That's complete rubbish. The fact that the Home Office or elements of the Home Office can access and kind of see what kind of, you know, lewd content that you're viewing and can do the same to cabinet ministers is just, it's very 1984 to me.
Yeah.
I remember like ages ago where this like meme came out about like your CIA agent watching you through your web camera, and it was like, it was kind of like people accepting it as like a joke or something like that, and it was like, yeah, have we accepted it or do we?
It was
like,
quite funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is an element of just a kind of an acceptance of it, because what else can you do when these systems are so integrated? Well,
interestingly, there's a kind of a push, especially in the US, I'm not sure about here. We tend to be a lot more kind of free with our privacy, to reclassify stuff like Facebook and Twitter as utilities. So in the same way there's private water companies, Facebook continues to be a private company but really heavily regulated in how it can treat its customers.
That's really
which I think is the right approach to have, and not regulate the people on it.
But I suppose what's interesting about that is that seems to define Facebook as a necessity, which is the argument. But then I suppose, does that limit competition? Does that prevent, what about another?
Who's going to compete with Facebook?
This is the thing.
Are we going to do it to other companies as well, or is this just simply victimisation of Facebook? Because they're merely the company that got caught. The Cambridge Analytica they're merely the internet-based company that got caught moving our data around. You know, I would imagine that there are many internet companies that do exactly the same, collecting our data, leaving little cookies on the internet. I mean, is it victimisation of Facebook?
Well, I mean, Facebook's the worst because you have so much of your life on there. It's a bit different if... What's another small website that isn't like Facebook or Twitter?
Wikipedia.
Yeah, like if I was supposed to say YouTube, that's linked with Google, and that's a necessity. I think. I mean, I'm sure all companies do something dodgy of your data, like when you sign in your Wi-Fi on the tube or on the train. But at the end of the day, I think that's Facebook's a completely different, you know, box of biscuits because they've got everything, your private messages. What kind of games you play, what you've connected it to, which is about everything nowadays. Mm. So I think Facebook's kind of the Rubicon for starting to kind of do everything.
Yeah, we've sort of given them a power over us, which, like, without, like, unwillingly, just given them, like, that much power.
Well, if you're not paying for something, then you're the product.
Yeah,
is the popular refrain.
Yeah, I think that's increasingly a part of most aspects of life as well, that we are, you know.
So if Facebook said, we'll keep your data safe, but you've got to pay us... Thank you.
Yeah, that's interesting because I think that feeds into an aspect of like millennial quote unquote culture, which is not really wanting to pay for things. Like we are used to getting things for free, you know, information, particularly
music.
But things. I suppose that's a fallacy actually because we think we get it for free, but actually we're paying through ourselves that we are the
we're quite willing to pay for subscriptions. I think. Yeah, there are a lot of online services which people are starting to pay for subscriptions, but yeah, that's a different issue.
This is URN.